Hi, this is producer and composer.
Hi, this is Marco May.
Hello, Universe.
Hey, good evening, Matt.
Hello there, Jan.
Hi.
Welcome to Live at Ordinary Miracle.
Here we are in downtown Cotati, California.
Is it a miracle we're here today? Sigh of silence.
What? What did you just say, Matt?
Is it a miracle we're here today?
Yes, it is a miracle we're here
okay.
today. We lead pretty busy lives, the two of us.
Right.
We really, really do.
So, tell the world who we are.
I am Jan Sircone. I am a music practitioner. I am a sound healer. I am a priestess with the Church of Isis. And you can find out about my work at musicforjoyandhealing.com. And I do this show every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. with this gentleman sitting in front of me. Smile, Matt.
My name is Matt Kramer. I'm an undercover agent for the NSA. No, I'm a I'm a mediator. And I'm a voice map practitioner, I'm a photographer, and a refugee from the music business, but still doing good, fun music stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're broadcasting from a little store in downtown Cotati called Ordinary Miracles, where you can come for good health experiences, see a naturopath, see a voice map person, etc.
Okay.
And once a week, 9 o'clock, Jan and I figure out something to say on the air.
Something fabulous. today I was thinking, Matt, with all this craziness of the campaigns going on, I think it's a perfect time for you to tell us a little bit about one of the other hats that you wear. And I quoted you the other day in an article I was writing. Matt is a mediator, and he works with people quite extensively as a mediator. And he also is a leader in his conscious community that he lives here in Frogsong. And he often has brought up a two-word phrase, which I believe captures the present paradigm of why our planet and our country and our community is the way it is. Would you like to say what those two words are?
Well, gee, thanks, Jan. Well, first let me say I'm a member of a co-housing community called Frogsong. And we did the numbers recently because people have moved in and moved out. There's 57 adults and 27 kids. And I'd say we're all leaders in this community. There is no one manager or guru or anything like that. We do consensus, and consensus built this 30-home community, 2.5 acres. And what Jan's referring to, as a mediator over the years, I've been a mediator for about 15 years now, occasionally I would start a process with people in conflict and realize that one of them is an abusive personality. And once I realize that, then I know that there's not going to be a fair resolution based on two people really coming to connection with each other and agreeing on what's fair. What if any solution happens at all, it'll be leveraged based on who's got the most power. And at that point, I either end the mediation or I might work to help the parties get to something that at least works. But if an abusive personality is in the picture, there's no sense of fair play.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a lot of research from there, and to keep it really short, because I could talk about this for many hours.
Let's get to that two-word phrase here, Matt.
Okay.
You've got the leaders on the edge of their seat. It starts with P, P-L.
All right.
Those are the words.
No, P-R. We're doing predatory.
Predatory leadership, P-L.
Okay.
Spelling.
And basically it means that if you want to be a leader of conscience, you'll be doing what you can, whatever environment you're in. It could be a corporation, it could be the world of education, it could be a religious institution. You will move ahead based on the results that you get. But your conscience will censor what things you will do to get those results.
If you have one, right?
Well, if you're a conscious, compassionate leader, you know, maybe you may have great skill, but you also have a conscience. If in the same organization there's a sociopath or an abusive personality, which is very similar, that person does not have any sense of conscience, does not have any sense of empathy or any sense of responsibility for the consequences of their actions upon others. And they will do more to get those results, and you probably don't stand a chance against them. So my premise is that in positions of power and control, there's a great percentage of people I would describe as predatory leaders. Mm-hmm. And I would be happy to go in depth at another time at another show, because if I start talking now, our guests will never get a word in.
Well, it's a great depiction. And what you said earlier about your community, that there are no leaders and no gurus, I believe that that is the core of the new paradigm and the new types of communities that we are creating. And one of the things that I'm teaching in my workshops I just presented at the LA World Sound Healing Conference is that I paint a picture that you look at the world, and around it is a sacred geometry figure, perhaps the icosadodecahedron, that's one image that's given. And where each of those connections in the grid connect, it's like a little dot, and that's a light. And that's each of us lighting up and becoming activated. So that we all, there's no leaders, there's no messiah, no one has the answers anymore. But I have a sense that we are going to co-create a new reality by all of us being energized and activated as our highest beings. So you're living that here at Frog Song. You're a great guy.
You just gave me a really interesting metaphor in that a true leader, I believe, empowers the other members of the organization to really rise to their best. In historically, a leader is somebody who builds a hierarchy in which they are on top of it and they oppress others to maintain their power.
Right, that's the old paradigm.
Right, so when I envisioned your icosadodecahedron, did I say that right?
Icosadodecahedron.
Icosadodecahedron.
And that's water through the etheric. That's what all the goddesses are envisioning now, simultaneously around the globe, and calling my partner, Randy Masters, who's good at sacred geometry, and we're making these little images.
Not go too far because you'll lose my thought.
Okay, sorry, Matt. So, you don't go too far with our country guy here. Okay, I'll slow down.
Thanks. Well, I just envision this multifaceted, like maybe a very large gemstone, but it's a geometric structure.
Faceted, right.
Okay, and it's lit at all of its facets, at all of its, wherever they meet.
Where they connect, that's us.
All right, so maybe somewhere there's a switching station. And that switching station helps to facilitate the flow of energy, which then energizes all those different facets. So in that model, the leader, and I'm thinking of the model of a connective leader. And Gene Lippmann Blumen wrote a book called Connective Leadership, which is a form of a much more consensual leadership where it's a partnership, it's a teamwork, rather than a top-down hierarchy.
There's no more top-down hierarchy. It's a connectivity. And I also believe, going a little bit deeper, and I'm sure our guest tonight will have something to say about that when we bring him in, is that I believe that we have brought a mission and an initiative from another place in time, and that we have volunteered before we came in this lifetime to remember, to reignite with each other of what this mission is, to co-create, overcome the inertia of the third dimension, the denser realities, and to lift up and lift off and create safe places off the grid, different than the way we're living now, to allow Mother Earth to cleanse herself of all these lower densities. And then we create the paradise that we were always meant to have. What do you think about that, mister?
Is this related to our guest?
Absolutely. You know how I describe us on my newsletter? I always say a fast-talking sound healer metaphysical gal and a kind of a grounded country guy.
Okay, so I just want to let our listening audience know that Jan's done something new tonight. She has surprised me, so I have no idea who our guest is beyond his name.
I said we have a fabulous, and he only needs one word of introduction. Though I often call him Robert for some reason. His name is Joseph, and Joseph is tall and strong. He's a singer like myself. However, he can outsing me. He sings four octaves. He's a male.
Four octaves.
Sung all his life, sings in every genre, opera. Maybe we'll hear a little bit tonight, but his voice is so loud, we're going to have to move the microphone across the room.
Seth, remember I said you may have to attenuate.
This gentleman is not simple. He's a walk-in. And I know Matt's probably going, what the hell's a walk-in? Well, we're going to tell you. It is an energy being so large that, well, I would like to let Joseph tell you. Let's introduce Joseph. Matt, welcome, Joseph.
Hi, Joseph. Welcome to our show.
Welcome to our show, Joseph.
Thank you both. It's great to be here. And I've been biting my tongue. I've been wanting to jump into this conversation ever since it began.
It's getting juicy, yeah?
It's getting very juicy, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and it's very fascinating as we're talking about gurus and we're talking about the changing forms of spirituality. Yesterday, Maharishi died, the founder of TM, with a huge following, with the college up
They're
in Iowa.
They're left without their guru.
Everything.
Oh, my God.
90-something years old. Nobody can know exactly how old he is.
Test. I don't think this phone is on.
Oh, well, okay.
Anybody there? Seth, can you hear?
How are we doing here? Is Robert on?
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Great. Good.
But his fidelity wasn't coming well.
All right, Robert.
Well, I can hear a bit of a feedback. I mean,
Can you hear Seth in your earpiece? Cover up your ear.
Seth, say hello to me, dear.
Say hello. I'm sorry. I mean, Rob. Joseph.
Pick a name.
You know, Joseph has such... I imagine that Spirit is making Joseph's phone not work because this entire room can pick up his voice. He is omnipresent.
But are you hearing him in your earpiece? Joseph, talk.
Well, I'm hearing some kind of a feedback. What am I getting here?
Ask Seth. Can Seth hear all of us?
Seth, are you there? Seth is our radio master, and he pushes many buttons.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere else in Northern California.
All right. If any of our listeners can hear any of us, call in immediately.
Let us know.
Oh, let's just roll. Talk.
Yeah.
Go for it, Joseph.
Well, boy,
what's a walk-in?
I'm so fired
Who
up.
Who are you?
Whoa. Boy, she just asked the $64 quadrillion question. When I was 12 years old, I had an exchange of occupancy in this body, and that's the closest thing you can come to with describing what a walk-in is. And
did you die? Did you physically die?
Physically died.
What happened? Did you drown? Or
no, I had asthmatic bronchitis and died from it.
Okay.
But it was a completion of a previous lifetime.
I see.
They showed me the whole thing when I... Oh, I could take up this whole time just telling you that.
Summarize this, because we want to get to the juicy stuff.
I was in Vienna in 1938 when Hitler marched in, and the thing he came to Vienna for was to get the spear of Longinus, which is the spear that had been thrust in the side of Jesus on the cross, and it had been, because of being soaked with the blood of Jesus, had been carried into battle by all the Holy Roman emperors. It was their talisman, if you will, and they had never lost a battle as long as they were carrying this spear.
Because it's all in the blood.
And it is all in the blood, yes. And Hitler knew that, and Hitler came to get it. And I was there taking care of this. I was watching over it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
is your previous lifetime.
This is my previous lifetime, yes.
Yes, okay.
And so I was, when I refused to give them the spear, I was murdered. And I literally lifted up and saw what it looked like to be murdered and came out and went through a revolving door and came right back in and went into the womb of this woman in Jackson, Mississippi, which is where I was born a few months later. And I'm sitting there going, whoa, don't we get time off for good behavior or something? I mean, what is this? And my guide said very clearly, when one comes in for a physical incarnation, you sign up, if you will, for a specific number of years. It's a karmic contract. And if you die before that, whether you're murdered, whether you commit suicide, whether you're in a war, whatever, you must come back and complete that contract. Then you leave. So that's why I believe we have so many children who have these early deaths who come in and they're just here for a very short period of time, and then they go out, and then they come back in when the time is right.
So you were the adult who died in 1938.
Yes.
And then 12 years later would be 1950?
1950.
And what happened? What happened in 1950?
I died. I had asthmatic bronchitis as a child. It was very severe. I was under an oxygen tent for at least 2 weeks every winter, and it got worse and worse and worse. And finally, in 1950, I had the event that took me out of the body, because that's what I had left on my contract. I had 12 years.
Okay. So what's confusing is you say, I died.
But
I think what you say is,
I'm going to write a
the
book
guy from 1938
what is this
died.
Thing called I,
okay.
Because we've got this, we've got to have a way of talking about this. Anyway, at that point, there was a transfer, because this was right at the time when all the nuclear weapons were being set off. There was great concern that the atmosphere of this planet was going to be
destroyed. The ability of the planet.
And it was totally about saving the experiment.
Okay.
Because we could have just wiped it out right there. Mm-hmm. And we still could. It
often the higher beings are sent in to kind of muddle those opportunities,
yeah.
So we don't self-destruct.
Yeah.
That's what's happening right now with
right.
this team, this grid work.
When I was 7 years old, when the previous occupant was seven, when
Thank
this
you.
Body was 7 years old, you know, however we want to describe it, I was in Chicago. My father was at Great Lakes Naval Station up north of Chicago. My mother and I went up there in 1945. And we, of course, could go to the USO. We could go anywhere. We get tickets to everything. We went. And I saw the first films of the first nuclear explosion. And I just went like this. And my mother leaned over and tapped me and said, honey, that's what's going to let Daddy come home. And I said, then Daddy doesn't have to come home. I recognized it. I knew what I was seeing. I saw the potential of the universe unraveling
mm-hmm.
in that explosion.
Wow.
Okay, so the knowledge of you for the first 12 years of your life, how did that then connect to the being that came in for post-age 12?
Well, it's a very specific connection, which just, when I finally realized it, really sort of blew me away. As the person who was guarding the spear of Longinus, I was a reincarnation of Thomas, the apostle, who was the doubter who had to stick his hand in the side of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What made the hole in the side of Jesus, the spear that I was taking care of. I mean, it's so ironic. So when I left...
Assignments
that,
are funny, aren't they?
Yeah. When I left at 12... The decision was made. I can still hear this council of 12 around my bed, and they said,
"Our guides,
look, the guides, exactly." And they said, "Look at the nervous system on this one.
Wow.
We can use this one." So rather than letting me go, they kept the body and put not one but two souls inside of it. And the two that they put inside were Joseph and Joseph of Arimathea. Now, Joseph was the father of Thomas. He was Jesus' brother.
Right.
So can you see? I mean, it was like this holy family reunion kind of thing that was taking place inside of this body.
Okay, and so the pragmatic part of me then goes, the parents of the 12-year-old boy who was sick with asthma, as far as they know,
they
you got better.
Away.
they know
they didn't know I died.
Exactly.
No.
Because I was under the oxygen.
A bit
tent.
Of a personality change there. And what
oh, yeah.
I would like to intersect
Definitely
here is that
what
I believe is, and maybe you can speak to this, is that 2,000 years ago we planted the seeds for these changes on the earth, changes now. And that's why you're here tonight and you're talking about this. And many of the people that we're meeting, it's not like you were actually the reincarnation. It's a resonance of, correct?
I couldn't agree with you more.
Every other person I meet now says, I'm Mary Magdalene. I'm Jesus Christ. What they're doing is they're waking up, they're being activated by a whole field of resonances that are flowing down from our Creator Source. And a lot of people are feeling the Christ energies.
Yes.
And that they're waking up as part of this grid. So part of my job is to tell them, you are not delusional, you are a little delusional, but the fact is, these are awakenings that we, again, these plans we made 2000 years, you want to talk about that?
Well, it's very clear to me that that these are seeds that were planted, and mm-hmm. this is the precise time that they are sprouting. I remember I became very interested in metaphysics, and I read a lot of Alice Bailey.
Yeah.
Now, people say, oh, Alice Bailey, it's so complicated, blah, blah, blah. It was like reading Mother Goose to me. I mean, she was speaking in my language.
I have to confess, I don't know who Alice Bailey is.
Oh, well, she was part of the Theosophist movement.
Right.
Back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, she died in the 50s, so she did a lot of writing. But the book of hers that touched me the deepest was called The Externalization of the Hierarchy,
mm-hmm.
of which I was a part.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I recognized that these seeds had been planted for those lineages
yes.
to come onto the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It was not, I mean, if we had to do this one at a time, can you imagine how
no.
long this
well,
would take?
We would
take?
Be crucified. If one of
oh,
us
yes.
had all the answers, they'd
oh,
take
yes.
them out, and the government would.
Yes.
You cannot slay a legion of people awakening across the entire planet.
Couldn't agree with you
I think
more.
It's clever. I picture 2,000 years ago, it was almost like a football planning meeting. And you're going to take this there, and you're going to be there, you're going to be there, you're going to be there. We're going to spread out, and they're not going to get the ball from us, and we are going to succeed in healing this earth.
Yeah.
I think it's a phenomenal plan. It's very exciting. I like the idea, even though I'm not into football.
You may have been the only person in the United States who didn't watch the Super Bowl then.
I heard it. I was on the plane, and everybody was screaming, Giants are winning. And I said, okay, I'm from the Bay Area.
The last
10
minutes were pretty impressive, I have to say.
I heard that it was magical. Actually, one of my friends today, who thinks she's the reincarnation of Christ, told me, she said, Jan, did you see the end? It was magical.
It was.
It almost looked supernatural. And, you know, our program is Life More Ordinary Miracles. Almost looked as if something that weren't quite possible. She said, this helps people see the field of possibilities. All those earthlings who watch football said, is this really true? It stretches our imagination.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Which is what a miracle is.
Absolutely.
It takes us beyond our ordinary paradigm that we live in, and it just takes us into a space that we've never experienced before, and we label that as a miracle.
It's the zone.
Well, for some folks, our current election mood has got some miracles in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not over yet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joseph, so
yes.
far we're talking a little bit about the walk-in, but
yep.
people don't get a sense of you channel divine masters. The information, the invocations, in a few minutes I'm going to have you do an invocation.
All right.
He has his unbelievable crystals here, which there's so many stories, and I know we could get off, but...
Yeah, we could.
How can we have our listeners have a sense of the energies that you carry? You carry the male and the female perfectly balanced in your
right.
body. You are the full thing, the full embodied human
well,
being.
Well, I'm what is determined, called an androgyne, which is both male and female. And that's not to be confused with hermaphrodism, which is partly male and partly female. The androgyne is fully male, fully female in the same body. And I carry both of those energies.
Physiologically, emotionally, psychologically.
Every level. And I've had the...
The human of the future.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been told that by so many people who do readings on me. They said, you're the paradigm. That's where we're headed.
There's no polarity in
nope.
your body.
Nope.
There's no need for tension release. You're there the entire enchilada.
And I've literally experienced the alchemical... marriage of the male and the female. I mean,
union.
It literally happened
mm-hmm.
right in front of me. I watched it happen.
How old were you when you realized that?
Well, that was not until I was 50 years old.
Okay.
I came out of that whole thing when I was 12. But I didn't have any support for it. There was nobody there to say, well, this is what's happening.
No
to
reference.
You. There was no point of reference, mm-hmm. and certainly not in my family, who were fundamental Southern and I never fit into that. But, you know, I went because that was the only thing that even resonated with me as any kind of spirituality or metaphysics or anything. So I went through this whole process of that. But the thing, and you, I think, will appreciate, because we've already alluded to it before, the thing that carried me, Matt, was music.
Okay.
And sound.
Music and sound was what carried me through. It's how I connect with Source.
Well, what music started that?
Because you're a light being, and a light is sound and music and light.
Couldn't agree with
it
you more.
It sticks to yourself.
Yes.
Lightens you up.
So what was the first music that resonated for you?
Well, when I was in church, you know, singing. I remember when I was, the earliest I ever remember was standing up and singing a solo in church. And I sang these words, "The bread that bringeth strength I want to give.
The body.
The water pure that makes the thirsty live.
Yes.
I want to live aright from day to day. I'm sure I shall not pass again this way." And I looked at it, and they were just weeping.
That's it.
Everybody, and I went, well, it wasn't that bad, was it? I mean, you know.
What you do with the word, through your body, through
yeah.
your light body, you actually manifest it in reality, and they feel it. Because of the attunements of your body,
yes.
the word becomes manifest. You know that. Yeah.
The word becomes flesh.
Let's do one of our invocations. Matt, wait till you hear this, okay?
Okay.
Matt's like looking at us. We're sound beings. This is what we do. We move around the particles of creation through spiritualized matter, through our body, bringing light and sound and color in. Matt's like, okay.
Are you invoking now?
Show me.
No, Matt. Fasten your seatbelt.
Okay.
Well, I've got like three of them I can do, but I'll just do one that I think is very succinct.
Here we go.
O prime creator, infinite source of the whole of existence, with whom we are one and in whom we live and move and have our beingness, assist, support, and sustain us in the co-creation of this universe and all that it contains, as an instrument of cosmic unity, harmony, and peace. Where love is withheld, let there be compassion. Where there is injury, wholeness. Where there is doubt, trust. Where there is despair, acceptance. Where there is darkness, illumination. Where there is sadness, joy. O infinite source of all that is, grant us the wisdom, the courage, and the willingness to discover for ourselves that it is in nurturing that we are nurtured. It is in understanding that we are understood. It is in loving that we are loved. For it is in sharing that we receive. It is in forgiving both others and ourselves that we attain that which is forgiven us. And it is in surrendering ourselves unto infinite source that we are led forth into the limitless immortality of no-thingness.
That was St. Francis. Those were his very words, you know.
Modified, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been a great... When I went to Assisi, I had such a strong connection with Francis and Claire there. That was initiation on top of initiation. Mm-hmm. That I got there.
Now, do you think that those two had that polarity thing going?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, energized towards each other?
Well, there was a great deal of difference in their ages.
Oh.
I mean, we don't realize. He was like 45 and she was a teenager.
Okay.
So it's not like Zeffirelli did in the film, Brother, Son, and Sister Moon, although that's
I
a
see.
Beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was very drawn to him, but
mm-hmm.
as a teacher, because he had already had his conversion
I
experience.
See.
By that time.
Okay. Well, that was a great invocation. Let's talk about your singing. Tell me a little bit about your singing background. When did you develop this amazing voice?
Well, I always loved to sing. I was, as a child, I studied piano, which I was never very good at. That just was not my thing. But I remember one day my mother came to pick me up at one of my lessons, and my teacher said, "You go sit out in the hall. I need to talk to your mother." And mother went in. Of course, I could hear. I was sitting there listening to everything they said. And she said to my mother, she said, "I want to teach him voice." And my mother said, "Isn't he awfully young to study voice?" And she said, "Not the way I'll teach him." She said, "He will always be in front of the public. He will always need elocution. He will need stage presence. All those things.
Sublimate his voice.
Yes.
Lift it."
I found out many years later, she, who was quite old, I thought she was really ancient, of course, when I was a little kid, but she, as a young girl, had studied in New Orleans with a teacher of the bel canto method, who was quite elderly himself at that time when he taught her, and he had been the last student of Matilda Marchesi, who was probably one of the greatest teachers of the bel canto. So it came down through three centuries to me.
Wonderful.
And it was a gift, and I learned bel canto. Now, the fascinating thing about this is I've really become aware of some people who are singing who are not so young anymore, but who are still singing beautifully. I heard Tony Bennett interviewed not long ago.
He can still do it.
He studied bel canto as a child.
Uh-huh.
I heard Johnny Mathis, who has that lovely top.
Mm-hmm.
He studied with the teacher who taught bel canto, and all of a sudden I realized, what a gift we all had.
Absolutely.
Of being shown that, how to sing without putting pressure on the voice, just letting it resonate on the breath,
yes.
Let the breath carry it.
And you know, when you sing properly, you can continue to sing as long as you can speak and breathe.
Yes.
So you've sung opera?
Yes.
Right? Tell the roles.
Okay. Oh, in opera, I've sung Rodolfo and Bohème. I've sung...
My favorite.
Well, I have
I've been Mimi.
My favorite is Don José and Carmen. I love that role. That's
wonderful.
A great role. I've sung...
Uh-huh.
What else did I sing? I sang Tamino in the Magic Flute.
Uh-huh.
I did Ernesto in Don Pasquale. Exactly. And that was real bel canto. I really got to enjoy that.
Beautiful.
And there were... what were some of the... I did... In Fledermaus, I did, it eludes me at the moment. In Cavaradossi in Tosca, that was a big one. That's big, heavy stuff.
So
but
you've played a lot in a lot of theater and opera productions.
Yes. A lot of musical comedy.
And you're still singing, and you've had a few decades behind you.
Yes,
a and you're
few.
Still singing.
I think I'm
in
singing
full voice.
Better than ever.
Well, I heard you sing the other day. It was quite amazing. You're a tenor.
Yes.
I think you just about sing as high as me, and I sing a high C easily.
Well, you see, what happened when I was studying with this teacher who taught the bel canto method, when my voice matured, I kept every note I had as a child and integrated an octave and a half below that.
Mm.
So that's how I got those four octaves.
Mm.
So I have a G above high C.
It's
in the
pretty
tenor
amazing.
Range.
It's
yeah.
very amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I hope this is inspiring for all the male singers out there.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I have said this before, and I've had several people come to me and said, "Would you teach me? Would you teach me how to do that?"
It's very phenomenal, almost superhuman what you can do with your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have you sing, but I think it would blow out these microphones. Absolutely. It's just such an amazing voice.
Over there and sing.
But the fact is, we are sound healing, so I want to... Sound healing and energy and planetary ascension, music for healing. And since you came to Sonoma County and I got to know you, it's pretty clear that you have some very special powers for healing. And when I talked to you a few days ago, you said, "Jan, wait till you hear what I've been doing recently." So why don't you just give us a little summary of some of your activities for healing and... Go ahead.
Well, what I was talking about the other day, this happened on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It was like somebody threw a switch, blew open a door, and I left this galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been hanging around out there looking down and going,
"Did you
oh
go
my
through the Milky Way void?"
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's what's up right now.
Yeah.
Like all the particles, she went right through the black void.
I went right through the black hole.
That's where we're at.
I went right out.
That's right where
and
we're
I'm
at.
And I'm standing
uh-huh.
right up there, and I'm going, oh, that is a mess down there. We've got to get this in order. You know,
knew a particle looking down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. James Jarrab, archaeologist who has a special property out of Santa Fe for this labyrinth, painted all the planets this last year, and that was the last one, the Milky Way, and he said, this is where we're at now. We're right going through this void of all possibilities for creation. So you, my dear, are right there.
Now I have to tell you, and we have not discussed this, James Jarrab was my very best friend when I was living in Santa Fe.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I
was just at his property after the Sound Healing Center. He's a wonderful man. We were there the day he finished the Milky Way. He said, Jan, it's no accident. It finished on the day you came.
Well, now, let me tell you, this is so funny.
God.
Because I got there when I went out to Santa Fe in 98, and I met James. How did I meet him? I don't. All of us. He's always been in my life.
Now, was
he
a regular archaeologist then, or had he already had his spiritual awakening?
Oh, he had already had his spiritual awakening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was developing his property as a
labyrinth. He was in the process. No, this is before the property. He was living in an apartment in town. He would
like a regular person.
Well, as regular as James could be, he was doing some very interesting paintings.
This is great.
And I looked at it and I said, James, this is really extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if I can be of any help to you or any service, let me. And I said, I know how to do some initiations. May I? And he said, oh, yes. So he sat down, and I did some energy work with him.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went back to New York, and he called me, and he said, Joseph, he said, I have painted something so weird, and I don't know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, James, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, it's this elephant dancing around. And
Ganesh.
I said, James, this is Ganesh. You have painted. And he sent me a photograph of it, and I thought, this is great.
He had to learn as he went. He did not know the symbols and the divine gods and goddesses.
Believe
they were just coming through him. He was an archaeologist before then. He was grabbed by spirit and started painting. And they're almost folk art, very bright. Stargate Dreaming, isn't that the name? Stargate Dreaming is the name of his website. And you can go visit his property. 12 labyrinths there.
Well, I think there are more now, aren't there?
No, it's just there are 12.
Oh, I
laid on the Isis and Osiris rock. Oh, my, where we initiated. He had no sound. So my partner and I, Randy Masters, we gifted to him two beautiful chimes, tones, three, based on, I believe, the hydrogen molecules. So when people come, he can sound them now, put them in this little triangle of sound. So that was a bright day. And as a thank you gift, he sent us his poster of the Milky Way, which
I'm so looking forward to seeing that. The last thing I did in Santa Fe before I left. Now, the way I supported myself in Santa Fe is that I was a critic. I had been a critic in New York for many years. In addition, I got sidetracked off of the singing, and I was the music, theater, and dance editor for Q magazine in New York, which was a major entertainment guide. I voted in Drama Desk. Voted in the Tony Awards. So, I mean, I've got that whole part of music and theater, and it all comes together. So when I was in Santa Fe, I worked for several of the newspapers there and a couple of magazines. The last thing I did was do an article on the labyrinth. And I will have to show it to you because it really turned out beautifully. They called me and they said, we've had more response to that article than anything we've ever had before.
Because that's what's needed right now, the imagination to go to the new places. And he's one of the leaders. So more about you. What has been happening with you recently that's fabulous and the listeners can say, wow?
Well, I've been doing a lot of singing. I've been going to sort of private homes and gatherings. I've been invited. I've done sung for groups of people. And always, when I get up in the higher part of my register, I can see people lift out of their chairs.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even sure what they're responding to, but they're, you know, they're
Do you
lifting.
Think, now, I have a fellow friend, and his name is Ha'a, and when he sings, it's almost as if it's the sound of God's voice. Are people telling you that there's some new resonance in there?
Well, they just say, where did that come from? you know, they don't recognize it. I mean, when I go
otherworldly.
Out, yes, it's very
yeah.
otherworldly.
That's what
to
I
them.
Feel is that even the way you speak has such a far-reaching resonance that when you sing, it kind of takes people home, and I call that the voice of God. Actually,
well, when I had I had a walk-in experience in 1992. I've had three. The one in 1950 was the
walk
first.
Right in, well, sit right down.
I had a walk in, and a walk out, and a walk back in, and a walk out. But when I had that walk-in experience, and I want to say this totally without ego because it blew me away, but my guide said to me, when the two Josephs left in 1992, mm-hmm. the Joseph and Joseph of Arimathea, mm-hmm. when they left, I had this incredible feeling of emptiness. I mean, I could hear echoes inside of myself.
I could imagine.
And I said, what is this? And what shall I call myself? Because I wasn't anything that I could identify with. And they said, what you just experienced was the two Josephs leaving. And the opening that they made when they went through your heart and out through your crown chakra mm-hmm. provides anyone a direct access to the source of the whole of existence, to the creator, to whatever. And they said, we're calling that the Joseph portal. Why don't you call yourself that?
I love that. The Joseph portal. So when people are with you and hear the resonances of your voice and your singing, there's a portal. What
yes.
I call that is it's like the gateway.
It's a stargate.
Yes. And a stargate is
yes.
James, do you have a website yourself?
I do.
Oh, there
oh,
you
no,
go.
Oh, no, I don't have a
no,
website.
No, you're your website. You look at you and you're your website,
well,
your living color.
I guess
color.
I have to get one. Too many people have said to me, you have to have a website.
Well, now that you're in Sonoma County, yeah,
yes.
that's what we do. We have websites here. So so you are a portal. And that goes along with what Matt and I work with, is that we are beings that are electromagnetic matrices. And by clearing through the voice mapping, and for mine, I can actually pinpoint diagnostically where you're holding, where your inflammation are. And we have these sound tools that can actually rebalance. And I believe beyond that, once you are rebalanced and cleared, the sound then activates our spiritual centers, and we can go through these portals, have activations, see out our third eye, start reading minds, and beyond. Be hooked up with cosmic consciousness, begin to work with the particles of creation for manifestation. When we are in agreement with the highest good for all, and we become godlike ourselves, I think this is available for all of us at this time to become energized and create this new paradigm together. That's what we're being called to do.
Well, the whole point is we've forgotten who we are.
Yeah.
We've always been God.
We've fallen.
We be God.
You know why they say we fell? Because we stopped speaking from our hearts and we speak from our mind. And I think that's why you resonate. Your whole chest resonates when you speak. It's like your heart is bursting
yes.
With love and caring. Why don't you do us another invocation?
Well, this is what I do each morning when I wake up.
Okay. Be great.
I surrender to Prime Creator, the infinite source of the whole of existence. I trust the unfolding process. I love unconditionally. I serve with gratitude. Use me.
Is it okay that I was singing over
your
speaking?
Beautiful.
Well,
yeah.
Why don't you talk some more? I like it. Now, let me ask
you. We're
going to
go on the road here. We've got
who's that? Now, which divine master do you work with the most? This is how I picture it. Here's God up here. He chose to experience himself. He broke off in the polarity of masculine and feminine. And then below that are all the males in the masculine part, Tahuti, Toth, Buddha, Jesus Christ. And over here we have our Mary, all the women. So we want to go back to God. We channel any of these beings up the ladder. Who do you talk to?
Let me give you another invocation that will tell you.
Can I sing?
Sure.
Okay.
As long as you can listen while you sing.
Oh, that's easy. Women can multi-track, Matt.
I've heard that rumor.
This very moment, here now, I am one with infinite source, the whole of existence. I am eternal light. I am unconditional love. I'm radiant power. I'm the universal unfoldment through Mariamma, the universal creatrix, through the Mahatma, the cosmic avatar of synthesis, through Metatron, the archangel of the presence, through Melchizedek, the universal logos, that which we call the Holy Spirit, through Maitreya, the Christed Buddha and planetary logos, through Sanat Kumara, the Ancient of Days, through Saint-Germain, and the entire council of the Ascended Masters, I am all these and infinitely more, fully, consciously, willingly embodied in a physical form that knows and proclaims itself to be Sri Satya Shakti Shiva Ananda, the true and sacred bliss of the perfectly balanced male and female of each and every one of the 12 cosmic rays that encircle, embrace, and form this universe and all that it contains, and of the 13th principle, the Christos, which interpenetrates, activates, aligns, quickens, enlightens, expands, and elevates the whole of existence through the portal of creation, eliminating all polarity and eliminating the illusion of separation from source. I seek no credit. I accept full responsibility, for the past, the present, and the future are one, and the beloved I Am presence that I am resonates freely and clearly throughout the whole of existence, bringing the dark matter and dark energy to luminous culmination. For as above, so below as above, as within, so without, as within. And in truth, which is the absolute, perfect, and total alignment with infinite source, the prime creator, it is so.
Hope. That's what we priestesses say, hope.
I'm in your corner, honey.
That was very beautiful, and I liked the way you plugged my CD. As above, so below. We played that at the beginning of the program. As above, so below. That's what it's all about.
She wasn't the first to say it, but I'm glad to plug you.
Spiritualizing matter. Actually, yes. We as humans stand in the middle of spirit and earth, and because we are activated spirit beings, we can choose to be dense earth beings or to be spiritualized beings.
What the other piece that I got just in the last few days is that we are transformers. That we are here as antennas and transformers to bring that energy into the planet.
Yes.
More efficiently than if the energy just tried to come in by itself. We can vibrate that into the planet in a very special way.
And it's our body. And as we activate our bodies, an antenna actually forms up and down our backbone so that we can take in the frequencies and words and energies of all the planetary sources, which actually we resound and activate through sound of our voice. In our voice, the consonants resonate the zodiac star forces, and the vowels are the planets. So each time we speak, we are sounding the cosmos, and to the extent that we lift it up to be in alignment with the good of all in spirit, we manifest as we speak. It's very powerful. I like having you on as a guest. This is really fun.
You've got my number.
We have about 3 more minutes here. Matt, come on in. Do you have any questions?
I'm wondering if that's...
Are we hogging everything?
No, like you said, the vowels are...
planetary forces.
And the consonants are...
zodiac.
So is that on the web someplace?
That is through Anthroposophical
Anthroposophical
Therapeutic Singing Methodology through Rudolf Steiner, which I've been a study of for many years.
Who was my teacher in my former lifetime before I was killed.
Really?
Yes.
Rudolf Steiner, that's going to be another whole conversation. I've been in the training for 16 years for that.
Yes, it will be.
The singing, we sublimate the tone. Now, for instance, Matt, for you, if you wanted a little bit more feminine in you, I would want you to say, ah.
You told me to do G.
No, no, that's your note for your voice behind.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm talking about sounds. And actually, therapeutically, for someone like you, you need the note of G to balance out some health issues. However, to balance out other issues, I would give planetary sounds. For instance, if a person were very tense and male and focused, I would give them singing exercises with ah, because that is Venus. It is the clockwise, the only clockwise rotating planet. And it actually takes that maleness and kind of softens it. Aphrodite, the feminine aspect, mm-hmm. spaciousness. Now, if I wanted someone to be more time-oriented, stand tall on the earth, be more historical, ooh, Saturn energy, right?
That O-O or U?
You.
Okay.
Yeah, you. So, I'm going to have to give you some lessons here, Matt. It's very, very powerful. Every time you open your mouth, you are creating, my dear, from the cosmos. And when you sing, you're broadcasting a huge, huge amount of energy.
I can hardly keep my mouth closed. They're telling me, sing, sing, sing.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move this little thing right here. Okay, not too loud. All right, let's hear your beautiful voice, darling. That's beautiful. We should all sing something together. That's a good song. Matt,
don't look at me.
What would be a good song for us to sing together?
Well, I think we would probably want to rehearse.
No, I have a very good one. This is it.
Amazing Grace.
We are one. Sing that with me. We
are
one. Come on, Matt. We are one. Goes a little higher now. We are one. Back to the beginning. We are one. Now the listeners with us. We are one. We are one. We are one. We are one. There you have it. Jan and Joseph, and Joseph singing the high notes. And Matt, I think we're ready to sign off. I do have a quick announcement. Thank you, Joseph.
Oh, my pleasure.
We could go on all night. You had a great time. It was wonderful. Now, I want to invite everyone to a sound healing trip to Egypt with myself. I'll be there playing the gongs. Jan Sircone, musicforjoyandhealing.com. Randy Masters will be along, maestro of the singing universe. And you can get information about this at www.holographicsound.com. And I will be putting on a workshop with Randy on the feminine side of the mysteries in Aptos on March 8th and 9th. And go ahead on my website and you can contact me, musicforjoyandhealing.com. Matt.
Well, your announcements are very global. I have announcements for local music events, and I would say those of you who live close to Sonoma County, you can email me, matt@mattkramer.com. And if you're listening to our show, you can see it on our website. And I'll tell you about some of the concerts I'm working with here in Sonoma County.
Great. All right, Matt.
Well, that was a very surprising and wonderful show, Jan. Thank you. And
My pleasure.
You, Joseph, for joining
us. Thank you for the opportunity, Matt.
Thanks for holding down that male part, Mr. Matt.
I just do what a guy's got to do.
Good night, buddy.
Good night, Jan.
Good night, Joseph.
Good night, everybody.